Is taken from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Michael. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, it is. It's just great to be back. Wowie kazowie. Did you bring your Bibles? Everybody bring in your Bible. I don't want you to be shy about not bringing your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. Because we spend a lot of time there. I prayed the vacation prayer this morning. You know what the vacation prayer is, right? Do you know what the vacation prayer is? I'll tell you what the vacation prayer is if you don't know. Oh God, please let these clothes fit. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. As the week progressed, down, especially down in North Carolina, you're on vacation, for crying out loud. You know, and Heather and Becca and everybody, Ben made this great bunch of food. He's going to be a great catch for somebody somewhere down the road. But I'm telling you, you know, he just made some great food. And Heather made some great brownies and, you know. And that driving in the car on the way down, I said, now, Heather, I'm not going to eat that stuff. I'm going to be real good this year. And she just laughed. And I said, what are you laughing at? She just shook her head. Right? Oh, God, please let these clothes fit. The vacation prayer. And I realized this week I was out at Wheaton College at the Billy Graham Conference Center, and there was a conference on ministering to young people today. And so we spent Monday through Thursday out there talking with pastors from really all over the North and Northeast. And actually, there were people from Africa there. There were people from Europe there. It was kind of cool. So it was a good conference on preaching and how to reach young people today. I think, you know, a lot of the things that we thought we knew, I don't think are right. And they're finding out that a lot of the stuff that we thought we knew isn't right. For instance, they were saying that a lot of the young people, 4% was the information that's been going out. 4% of people who graduate high school, I still haven't tied my shoe, by the way. 4% of the people who graduate high school or college say that they're going to stay in the church. That was the statistic that was given. 4%. It's not 4% at all. It's not. That's interesting, isn't it? They found out that the person who did this was a college student who put that together, and he published the results of his survey. He had gone to a small town. It was a Catholic town, and mostly Catholic kids he talked to. He talked to 200 kids, 200 young people, and that's what they said. 4% of them said they weren't going to stay in the Catholic Church. Not a surprise. Not but against Catholics, but I'm just saying, you know. But they said overall, they had done, Billy Graham's conference center there had done a survey across the country, and it's closer to 50%, if not higher, 51, 52% of people who are graduating college want to get back into church. That's an encouraging thing, isn't it? So, yeah, so that is good. Well, you guys are getting married now, so you're like, you're not college graduates anymore. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I could stand up there and just wander on and talk about all this other stuff. But yeah, it really is good. It's very, very good to be back. Well, starting a series today about the Lord's Prayer, talking about the Lord's Prayer through part of this summer. I'm encouraged in reading the Lord's Prayer and a lot of the stuff that I read when I was away on vacation. And a lot of the ways the Lord has been kind of reviving my spirit. I knew I needed to get away. I was forgetting things. There were so many things on my mind, and I was forgetting things. Before I left, Session had made some very big decisions, and we're spending some money that has needed to be done. Scott Miser was calling it, I think, deferred maintenance. And I said, yeah. He says, well, we've got to get some of this stuff done. So we're doing it. This summer. It's exciting, but it weighs heavy on my mind. The beautification project, we would love for everybody to give a little bit to that if we can. Beautification of our grounds, and a dream that people have had for a long time is to make a prayer walk across the back of our land, and we're just very thrilled about that. And we're thrilled about what God is doing. We're just thrilled about how He's moving among us. And the Lord has said, now this isn't by accident, Ron. You're tired. I know you're tired, and I appreciate the fact that you're tired, but it's not by accident. This is mine, not yours. Right? And so I was praying that way when I was on the way to Chicago. And I'm going to talk about my trip to Chicago and my sister here in a few moments. Oh, my sister. So what do we know? What do we know about what Jesus had to say about prayer? It's interesting in Matthew chapter 6 how he talks about hypocrites. And how does Jesus want us to pray? Well, he said in that passage he doesn't want us to pray like the hypocrites, to be seen by people. Hupokrites. Hupokrites is the Greek, from which we get the word hypocrite. But they use that word when they talk about actors, people who are acting. It's a show. It's a show. I've told you about some of the friends of mine that I've known as pastors through the years, and we would go to, like camp meeting down here, And I'd be sitting with them, and we'd be joking and messing around during the service. And he would get called up to pray, or I would get called up to pray. And one time we were messing around, joking about something, one of the pastors. And he got called up to pray during camp meeting on Sunday. Now, that's a big deal. There's a couple thousand people there, they called on me to pray. Whoop-dee-doo. So he gets up there and he prays, and he's down there talking to me. Now we're jabbering on, and he's being himself. He gets up there, "Our Father, we thank thee today." I'm like, he comes back and sits down. Would you just be real for 2 minutes? Just pray like you're talking to your friend. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Jesus said, when they pray, when these people pray, they're looking for a reward. And Jesus said they've already gotten, by the way, I got a new Bible while I was there. This is the coolest Bible I've ever seen. And not just this Bible, but on every page of this Bible, there's a little mark, and there's an app that comes with this. Yeah, how cool is that? Some of the best professional expense money I've ever spent. And you put your, you get your camera on that app, and you put it over that little symbol, and it takes you to all these study stuff that comes from Tyndale, and all of these articles that have been written, and videos that you can use. How cool! So I'm just going to sit down, and you guys can watch the videos from here on out. But here's what he said. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is the reward, the biggest reward they will ever get. Yep. Don't be like those people. When you pray, just be real. God knows when you're not being real. God knows your heart. Don't be like the hypocrites. And also, he said, pray with few words. He said the hypocrites, these actors, like to use a lot of words, and they like to say a lot of things, a lot of empty words. I always pray that my prayers, especially in service here, are not, you know, just a bunch of words, high and lofty stuff. Because then you would have the right to say to me what I told my friend. Ron, just be yourself. And I hope you know that it's me when I'm praying. And not some example of somebody that I knew who really prayed well through the years, you know. Just be you. You're talking to your best friend. All right? When you're praying, you're talking to your best friend. You're talking to the one that knows you better than anybody else. He's not going to be concerned with the thees and the thous. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy... You know, for some reason we go into this British accent, you know. Come on. Just use few words. And the words that you use, let them be real and right. Right? So, when we come down to this prayer, and Jesus is teaching them how to pray, the first words he says are, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. He is first and foremost our Father. There is no greater love than that of a father or a mother for their children. There is no greater love here on earth, I believe, that we can experience in this world. And you know what that means? Whenever we say He is our Father, He is our Father. What does that mean? It means we're family. Now, I'm going to tell you that sometimes family is trouble. And there are people that we love in our family very, very deeply, our brothers and sisters. We love them and we care for them all the time. But they're the same people who make us crazy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you about my trip to Chicago this week, okay? Monday morning, I'm driving to Chicago. Everything is great. Sun is shining. You know, everything is good between here and, I got to Indiana. Their toll system in Indiana is insane. So I drive through Ohio, $19.25 to drive through Ohio. Unbelievable. And then you get, you know, into Indiana, Illinois. And I came to the little town of Gary, Indiana. Anybody here ever been to Gary, Indiana? Do you like driving in Gary, Indiana, Ron? It's a little crowded. Murder capital. And so the traffic is really bad. Now, I'm trying to pay attention to my GPS, right? I'm trying to pay attention to my GPS, and eventually I'm sitting at this toll booth literally for over an hour. A toll booth that wouldn't work. There was no person there, but you could see these people, and I'm trying to get into another lane. That ain't never happening. People are so kind, aren't they? I'm trying to divert into another lane, and it's never going to happen. And I'm frustrated as can be. And so I finally get through this toll thing, and then there's another one, and I have to divert near Gary, Indiana. It takes me down into Gary, Indiana, and I'm going through these lights, all this traffic, just the worst thing. My phone rings, and it's my sister, Lori. Now, I love Lori. I love talking to her. We'll talk for an hour at a time on the phone, okay? I love her. But I was so frustrated. And you know what she kept doing? It was driving me nuts. She kept singing, "Gowie, Indiana, Gowie," like the little boy. I said, "Lori, you got to stop that." I wanted to reach through the phone and strangle her. And she kept doing it. She just kept doing it and doing it. And I said, "Lori," screaming at her. Driving through this area, you know, I'm trying to not get killed. Yeah. I love my sister. Man, we've always been close through the years. But boy, there is nobody that can aggravate me more than that girl. Telling you. There's nothing. Being family in the kingdom of God doesn't mean that we're always just going to have fun time all the time. Being family means it's difficult. And when we say, "Our Father who is in heaven," I almost tripped myself by stepping on the thing. "Our Father who is in heaven," when we say that, we are saying, we're family. You're my sister. You're my brother. We're together in the kingdom of God. And yes, there are times when we can aggravate each other. I know that's true. No family in this world, even Ozzie and Harriet, you know, they had their problems. No family is perfect. No family is perfect. If anybody says, and starts singing "Gary, Indiana" to me on the way out, you can't have any saltwater taffy. Okay, that's what's back there, by the way. Heather and I always bring saltwater taffy back for the church. So, and I left a little thing there so you can kind of tell what flavor is, but if you can see it, it's hard to tell. But take some saltwater taffy. But again, if you start singing like the little boy, mm-mm. Not going to shake your hand. All right, what else? Man, I've been talking so long here. The thing went blank. Yeah, there are so many things that we can learn from this passage. So many things. We are family. And I remember before I left too, I had a chance, and I talked to him about this, whether or not I could say this. And he assured me that I could tell you this story. Carl Evans, before I left, a couple days before I left, was in, and he comes in and prays in the sanctuary. And he came back into my office one time after having prayed in here, and he's weeping. He's crying. Pretty heavy, almost uncontrollable. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Pastor, let me tell you. It's been hard. This last treatment has been hard. It's made him very tired. Very, very tired. And he's having a real struggle with this chemo treatment that he's been on." And he says, "I really just needed to come here and pray." And he said, I walked in. And he said, "For the first time, probably in my life, I realized that God was my Father. And he loved me." Isn't that the greatest? He could have walked in and given me $1 million and it wouldn't have felt that great. And he's weeping and he's saying, "The first time I realized that he's my Father." He could hardly talk when he was telling me that. "And he loves me. He's our Father, folks. He's our Father. He loves us. He cares for you more than you'll ever know. He cares for you." Second thing we want to realize is that God's name is holy. His name is holy. Hallowed be your name. The word is hagios in the Greek. It means holy. It means to consecrate, to sanctify, to put God in his real place. Psalm 23, if you have your Bibles, you want to go over there. You're probably going to say, what does Psalm 23 have to do with with Matthew chapter 6. It has a lot to do with Matthew chapter 6 because of the name of God. Beginning of Psalm 23 says what? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. In the Hebrew tradition and in Jewish tradition, for many Orthodox Jews, it's very much the same. But in that tradition, and you see it written up on the screen there, when the name of Yahweh was written, the scribe had to bathe until he was completely clean before he would mention the name of God or write the name of God. And after the scribe had written God's name, he had to destroy the quill with which it was written. That's how holy and revered the name of God is, Yahweh. So often they use the term Adonai, and the reason they did that is because they got tired of taking a bath every time they had to write that name. And the word Adonai means Lord, but Yahweh, the name of God, Yahweh goes back to Moses at the burning bush, and Moses asked God, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? I am that I am. Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. We have many names for God, and they usually, those names talk about the attributes of God. But Yahweh, the very name of God Himself, is so holy and so revered that they had to take a bath before they wrote the name of God. And then when they wrote His name, they burn the quill. How far we have come. One of the Ten Commandments, do not take the name of the Lord Yahweh in vain. That means, and it says never, the terminology in the Hebrew is incredible there, means never take the name of the Lord in vain. That means to never say that name means nothing, that it is void, practically unforgivable. How far we've come. How far we've come. We use the name of God so often, and yet, He remains holy. God's name is holy. God's name is sacred. His name is sacred. Oh, yes. His name is sacred. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We sang that chorus again this morning. Good choice. About worship. You know, in Michael's Bible study, it's going well. Good. Michael's Bible study on Thursday, they're talking about true worship and what true worship is. I don't know exactly the details of what he's talking about. But see, this is the God that we worship here. We pray before every service in the back, before we come in. We pray in the back room, in the prayer room, and we say, Lord, we do all of this because your name is worthy. You are worthy of our praise. God is worthy of what we do to him and for him. When we give to God, we're giving to a sacred and a holy God. Even the beautification campaign, we think, okay, well, we can give this much, and we write a check and we put it in there. We're giving it to a holy and righteous God. His name is sacred. His name is holy. A name can carry an awful lot of weight. And His name is sacred. So, in this series that we're talking about praying like Jesus. Jesus wanted us to pray in this way. And when we pray like Jesus, we begin by recognizing that He is and what His name is worth. Who He is and what His name is worth. He is God Almighty. He is Yahweh. He is I am that I am. And His name is worth everything that we could possibly give to Him. All the praise we give to Him and not to us. All the praise that we give is for Him, for He is worthy. All that we give to the church, and I know many of us would sacrifice in giving to the church. Why do we do that? Because He is holy, and it's worth giving to Him because He's worthy of everything we can give. So true. I think this series is going to help me. Most of it's written completely, but I have a tendency to think that God along the way is going to change a few things. And I always hate that because I have to give Amy my sermon notes by Tuesday, and that's really hard. Really hard. Because then I think, man, something else I should have said, and I put in there, and I try to, yeah. Good series. Let's pray. Lord, we love You today. We thank You so much we could be together again. Help my people, Lord, to forgive me for wandering off this morning. But help us, Lord, to love You and to serve You with all we have. Because, Lord, Yahweh, You are worthy. You are worthy. Your name is holy. Your name is sacred. May we, Lord, recognize that for who You are. We ask these things together through Christ our Savior. All the people of God said, Amen. Amen.